Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. We've been doing a Bible study through the book of Romans for really quite a while. It's been, a year or more in the book of Romans. So much that God has in this book. It's a wonderful, wonderful doctrinal book, very foundational in how to be saved and all of those things of our sinful condition and how Jesus Christ paid for our sin on Calvary's cross and how we can be saved by faith alone and how we can live in victory as Christians. And all of these things have been covered. And we come to the end of the book, to the last chapter of a letter that the Apostle Paul was writing to the churches of the Romans. And as he writes to the believers in this region of the world in that day, he sends these greetings along. He first of all, as we saw last week, commended a lady named Phoebe in verse 1. But now he moves on to a couple, a man and his wife. I don't know, there's no indication that this man and his wife, Aquila and Priscilla, there's no indication that they had children or that they didn't have children. We don't know their age, but it is evident that they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text is actually, doesn't tell us how they got, well, we know how they got saved. They trusted Christ as their Savior. But we don't know when they got saved exactly, but when we meet them in the Bible, it's evident that they were believers. I believe that's the indication of the text and by all of the things that are spoken about their life. We see that they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would seem that they had been Christians for quite some time and had a good understanding of the Bible. And so as we meet them here in the book of Romans, this isn't the first time they're mentioned in the Bible, but we will notice this because this is where we're studying. So let's read the scripture and notice this couple beginning in verse 3. All right, so Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Not a lot is said here, but let's see what the rest of God's word says, and let's put the pieces of the puzzle together, because this couple is mentioned no less than 6 times in the New Testament. Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned, and across 4 different books of the Bible. And so let's look into it. Lord, we recognize our need for your help to understand the Word of God and to apply it to our lives. We pray that you would have liberty in this Bible study, in this message, in this meeting, that you would be glorified. Help us to glean important truths from Aquila and Priscilla's life. Thank you for their faithfulness in their day, in the 40s and 50s and 60s A.D. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Aquila and Priscilla, we meet them in around 49 or 50 A.D., all right? And so let's go back to that meeting place, because here in actually, this account in Romans is later on. It's a little later on. I mean, Paul already says, they're my helpers in Christ. They laid down their necks. This wasn't the first meeting. So let's go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. And we're going to look right here at verse 1. Acts 18 and verse 1. Now, just for your information, chronologically speaking, because of the 6 different times they're mentioned, I'm going to give you some dates, okay? And this first date is about, again, they're kind of estimates. They're not exact. They're close, but there's some room for variation. But this is about 49 A.D. This is, the Lord Jesus was crucified around in the 30s A.D. And so we have, 15, a dozen years perhaps after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and ascended back to heaven. And apparently, Aquila and Priscilla have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior. Notice now, Acts 18, verse 1. Paul is on his second missionary trip. I'll reference the map in a little bit here as well, but point out a couple of things. But Paul was on his second missionary trip, and he gets to the city of Corinth, all right? And Corinth, right over here on the map, Paul gets there on this second missionary journey. And as he gets here, one of the first people he meets, one of the first couples that he meets, and in fact stays with, lodges with, is Aquila and Priscilla. So notice verse 1, Acts 18. After these things, in Paul's trip, he departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew. Now that was his ethnic, background, maybe religious background as well, but obviously he was a messianic Jew. He had recognized that Jesus is the Christ. All right, so they found a certain Jew named Aquila. So this was a Jewish man, not a Gentile, but a Jew. Aquila, born in Pontus, that's over by Rome, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, notice the text, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. All right, so here's a couple that's been kicked out of their house in Rome, in Pontus, which is kind of a, you might say, a suburb or a neighboring town of Rome. And Claudius, the emperor, has told all Jews to get out of his empire. So they left. They were kicked out. Now, we don't know whether they were able to sell their home, and we have no idea the trial of that situation. Were they able to sell it for a fair market value? Did they own a home? We don't even know that, okay? But nevertheless, you can just imagine, they have come to Corinth, all right? So, from Rome here, or Pontus, which is near, it's not on the map, but it's near there. And so they have come from Italy, from Rome, and they have traveled by sea, probably, and come to Corinth, all right? They've just barely settled in, it says here, in the middle of verse 2, it says, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, or earlier in the verse, it says they were lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So they've just come, maybe settled in a little bit, and Paul comes on his second missionary trip, and they meet. And it was a connection of immense proportions. Notice the third verse here. And because he was of the same craft, or the same trade, that is Paul and Aquila and Priscilla, because they were of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, or worked. For by their occupation they were tent makers. All right, so Paul's trade growing up was a tent maker. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. They either, they were working. Maybe Aquila and Priscilla were already employed. They were already, maybe they had their home business and they were making tents. This was more than just, the typical tent we think of. But this would have been, probably things for sailboats, these kind of things. They were making all this kind of things in their business, in their employment. And Paul is of the same trade. And Paul comes here to preach the gospel, but he was a working man as well, and he spent, in fact, over a year, almost 2 years here in Corinth, working and preaching the gospel. So notice this. Notice also that they spent 1.5 plus years here in Corinth working in the tent-making business and serving the Lord. Please notice Acts 18, verse 11. And he continued, this is referring to Paul specifically, and he continued there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. All right? So Paul was there in the Corinth area preaching the word of God for a year and a half, plus a little other unaccounted for time around there. So here's Paul. Now, when Paul gets ready to leave Corinth, guess who goes with him? Aquila and Priscilla. Now, Aquila and Priscilla probably lived in Corinth for 2 years, maybe two and a half. And they go with Paul as he goes on his missionary trip, and they go to Ephesus with Paul. So let's notice that in verse 18 of Acts 18, verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren. He said goodbye, and sailed thence into Syria, and, notice it, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. All right, so Aquila and Priscilla went along with him. And then verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. That's Aquila and Priscilla. Left Aquila and Priscilla there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. On Paul's second missionary trip, he meets up with Aquila and Priscilla, who have just been, they've been kicked out of Pontius, where they lived in near Rome in Italy. They've come to Corinth, lived there not very long. Paul has come on his second missionary trip. They've met. They've done some, Paul lodged with them in their home. They worked together in tent making. Paul stayed there a good year and a half, preaching the word of God. And Paul leaves on his missionary trip to continue on, and Aquila and Priscilla go with him. They go all the way along with him to many communities, and they get to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla buy a home, apparently, or rent a place. They get a home, and they put down some roots in Ephesus. Paul continues on, in fact, on to the close of his second missionary trip. Just to help you follow the story a little more, Paul goes and finishes his second missionary journey, and then he starts his third missionary trip. And he comes back to Ephesus, and he meets up again with Aquila and Priscilla. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 16 now. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. This is referring to Aquila and Priscilla when they were lodging in Ephesus, okay? It says, the churches of Asia salute you. We're in 1 Corinthians 16, now verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with, read it together with me, with the church that is in their house. Now that's when they lived in Ephesus, okay? Paul writes the letter of 1 Corinthians during this time, all right? Now, after he writes this letter, shortly after, they actually move from Ephesus back to Rome. Aquila and Priscilla move back to Rome. And when they are back in Rome is when the book of Romans was written, in about 56 AD. Now go back to our text passage in the book of Romans. I hope I haven't lost you in all of this journey, and we're gonna get somewhere here, all right? But let's notice here, again, verse 3. So now we're 56 AD, all right? They've known each other for 6 years now, maybe 7 years, okay? Done ministry together, lodged, helped one another in so many ways. And notice this, chapter 16 of Romans, now verse 3. Remember who Paul's writing to. Who is he writing to again? What's the name of this book? Romans. They're back in Rome. They moved back to Rome from Ephesus. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my own life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. They had a church in their home in Ephesus, but when they moved back to Rome, they had a church in their house in Rome as well. All right? So there's the historical narrative. The one last step of this thing is that we find them actually back in Ephesus again, living in Ephesus later on in 64 AD. In 64 AD, Rome burned severely. I am told, historians say, that over half of the city of Rome burned. Now, I don't know whether Aquila and Priscilla were in, lost their home in that, or whether they were outside of the city. I don't know all of those things. But what I do know is that they left Rome again and went back to Ephesus. And you'll notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy is about the latest of Paul's letters, all right, written about 64 A.D., or 65, I should say, 65 A.D. And the fires in Rome happened in July of 64. Nero started the fires, but he blamed it on the Christians. And several years of intense persecution happened in Rome and in the Roman Empire. And it is apparent that Aquila and Priscilla had to flee their home in Rome a second time. All right? And so notice here now, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. Salute. The name is shortened a little bit. It's the same name, it's just a shortened form of it. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. All right? Now here's Paul writing to Timothy, who is the pastor in Ephesus in 64 AD. And so you see the historical narrative. Aquila and Priscilla, just as a review, they started out living in Rome. Apparently they knew Christ, they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. They were kicked out of their home by the emperor, and they moved down to Corinth. That's where they met Paul. They did tent making together and served the Lord together. Paul lived with them for a time. When Paul journeyed on his second missionary trip, they went along with him all the way to Ephesus. They settled down in Ephesus for several years. Paul went on. Paul completed his second missionary trip. He came on his third trip, came back to Ephesus, was a blessing. Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their house in Ephesus during those years. Then Paul left Ephesus on that third trip. He wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, and then they moved back to Rome. Then persecution happened in Rome again, and they moved back to Ephesus. And so, a lot of moving. I'll tell you, their life, there's not a lot written about them, but they had a few trials and tribulations. And so let's briefly get into the meat of the message here, all right? Faithful servants of the Lord. Number one, they had an unmistakable testimony. An unmistakable testimony. I'll tell you, when the Apostle Paul came to Corinth in 49 or 50 AD, and he met Aquila and Priscilla, they were just knit in their hearts. Not only because they were tent makers of the same occupation, but there was a unity in Jesus, in Christ there, and they became good friends and fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ. And so they had an unmistakable testimony. Now, I'll tell you that Aquila, you know, though he loved the Lord Jesus, that is apparent in his life, and he served Christ faithfully, but he was not a preacher particularly. There's no indication that Aquila was a pastor nor a preacher. He loved the Lord, and he obviously served the Lord, and he stood for what was right. He had an unmistakable testimony in his tent-making business. I believe that he was a faithful husband. You always see Aquila and Priscilla together. Every time they're mentioned, they're never mentioned apart. I mean, they were together. We don't know whether they have children. We don't know. I perceive them to be about 50, 60. If they did have children, they were grown kind of thing. And they loved the Lord Jesus. And they were just this sweet, older couple. Not that old, grant you, 50s isn't very old. But they were this sweet couple that, you know, they're empty nesters maybe kind of thing. They had come to know Jesus as their Messiah, and they were going to serve Christ. And even though they were kicked out of their home, you know what? They came to Corinth. They met the Apostle Paul, and It was just a growth point in their life. And it was just a friendship bond that was immense. So much so that when Paul went on, they said, "We're going with you." And they journeyed with him to many communities where he preached the gospel. And we could take time to look at all the incidents that happened there. But, you know, they went on and they got to Ephesus. And they settled down in Ephesus. They started a church right in their home. And all of those things. They had an unmistakable testimony wherever they went, wherever they were. You knew that Aquila and Priscilla loved the Lord Jesus. They were going to honor Christ in their life. Let's notice as well, not only an unmistakable testimony, but an unwavering loyalty. Aquila and Priscilla had an unwavering loyalty, first of all, to Christ and his doctrine. We'll go back to the book of Acts, chapter 18. Acts 18. This is the time when Paul was gone. They were settled down in Ephesus. Paul continued his second missionary trip. He was away. And we read these words. Acts 18. And let's go over to verse 24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." All right, here was a very sincere man who believed the Bible, but there were some things he didn't know, all right? He actually didn't recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't know about that. All he knew was what John had taught. So now notice verse 26, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue." So here's a man who comes, he's zealous for the Lord. He comes to Ephesus, he's teaching in the synagogue, verse 26, middle of the verse, "whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly." This couple heard that this visiting preacher was in town, and they went to hear him, and they just were concerned that there were some things he didn't understand about the Bible, and they invited him over, you know, "Hey, come on over for pie and whatever." I don't know whether they served pie, but come on over. And they sat around the table and they said, "Apollos, I love your zeal. I want to show you something." And they expounded unto him, the Bible says, the word of God more perfectly. So I want you to see that they had an unwavering loyalty to what the Bible taught, to the word of God, to Christ and his doctrine. They helped Apollos. Apollos was humble. He received it. And it was a growth point in his life. We see in their lives that they were pro-church. Twice it's mentioned. They had a church when they were in Ephesus. They had a church in their house when they were in Ephesus. They had a church in their house when they were in Rome. That didn't mean they had left the church and just, you know, stayed home from church. They were not anti-church. They were pro-church. And you see that in these early days of the infant church, there were no Christian churches that had buildings. The believers were meeting in homes here and there, and they didn't have, you know, Cadillacs and pickup trucks to drive around and drive 20 miles to church or 40 miles to church. No, they walked to church. They rode their donkey to church, whatever. There were churches needed to be much closer together. There were believers meeting here and meeting there. Aquila and Priscilla were, again, there's no indication that Aquila was a preacher. None. Even though he loved the word of God, even though he was able to help Apollos grow in Christ, he wasn't a preacher or a teacher particularly. He loved the Lord Jesus. He used his hands to make tents and all of those things. But he and his wife were, you can tell, they were hospitable. They opened their home up. This wasn't, "Hey, come on over, you know, and meet at our house." This is the meeting place. Every Sunday, you can meet here. Every Wednesday, come on over. You know, I don't know what all days they met, but they opened their home up when it was convenient and when it was inconvenient. They were pro church. So much more I could say about that, but they loved the Lord Jesus. And we can see by the way the Bible refers to them, such as here in Romans chapter 16. Go over back over to Romans 16, verse 4. Well, verse 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I mean, Paul was a church planter. And he says, Aquila and Priscilla, they were my helpers. They were church planting assistants. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't even necessarily a teacher, although he taught with his life, obviously. But Aquila was a helper. And Priscilla, they were church plant helpers. Verse 4. For my own life they have laid down their for my life they have laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks. Notice what the Bible says, but also, next word, all the churches of the Gentiles. Wow. Aquila and Priscilla had an unwavering loyalty to Christ and his doctrine, to the church and its growth, to Paul and the brethren. You see, they laid down their life for Paul. Paul says, they have laid down their own necks for me. I wonder whether the passage I find in 2 Corinthians is the instance that they laid down their necks. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Please notice, again, I don't know, it could be around the same time frame. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. This is the second letter Paul writes to the Corinthians, and notice what he says. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. That's where Aquila and Priscilla were living at the time. Came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I mean, Paul says, hey, we went through a trial. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I believe that this may be the very same incident, culmination of a very deep trial. You know, there were people, I mean, Paul, in his missionary trips, you know, there were so many times that he had incidents, I guess you could say. But in his life and ministry, after the writing of 1 Corinthians and before he wrote 2 Corinthians, is the time frame of which he was with Aquila and Priscilla. And they were in Ephesus. And I believe that this probably refers to an event the Corinthians knew about that happened perhaps in the Ephesus region. And Paul says, it was a bad situation. Our lives were at stake. And so I think that's a connection there. When Paul says that Aquila and Priscilla laid down their own necks for his life. How much do you love the brethren? How much do you love the people of God? You know, we say we're a family. You know, the family of God. That we love one another. Are we willing to do? You know, not every believer in the first century was willing to lay down their life for the Apostle Paul. And ultimately, we shouldn't lay down our life for particular people. We need to lay down our life for Christ. We need to live for Christ. And not, I don't mean die for him in the sense of sacrifice our life like some other religions teach. That's not at all what we mean. We mean they stood up for Paul. They risked their financial They were business people. They maybe had some resources. They maybe had a home that was bigger than others, and maybe that's why they opened it up for the church to meet in their home, because maybe they were a couple that was in their 50s and 60s and had a few resources and didn't have as many expenses and were able to buy a place that was big enough that the church could meet in. These were people who loved the Lord Jesus. These were people who, in every aspect of their life, whether it was their business, whether it was where they lived, they served Christ. They had a testimony where they went. An unwavering loyalty. I think about their marriage. Now, we don't know we don't know much other than they're always mentioned together. This sweet couple. Gray hair. Aquila's hair probably fallen out. And they loved each other. You know what? If Aquila was willing to lay down his life for the Apostle Paul, to lay down his own neck, I'm sure he was laying down his own neck for his wife. Because that's what godly men do. And Aquila is obviously of that caliber. An unmistakable testimony, an unwavering loyalty, and lastly, an unimaginable impact. An unimaginable impact. Why would this couple be mentioned six times in the New Testament in four different books of the Bible? Not even that much is said about them. But the impact of their lives. They went through trials. I mean, kicked out of Rome once. Go to Corinth. Eventually go to Ephesus. Start a church in their house. Stay there a while, move back to Rome, start a church in their home there, get kicked out of Rome again because maybe their house burned or they were persecuted in the middle 60s AD. Went back to Ephesus, and that's the last record we have of this couple. 2 Timothy, back in Ephesus. You know, what is your life? What impact will your life have? Will my life have? At my workplace? In my marriage? In my family? Do I know the Lord Jesus like Aquila and Priscilla did? Am I pointing others to Christ? Am I pro-church? The church that Jesus established? The body of his people, local churches meeting together to encourage one another to grow and to spread the gospel. Am I pro-church, faithful? Would I be willing if we didn't have a meeting place to say, hey, come over to my house. My house is open. Every time the meeting needs to be, come over to my house. My living room, it's the church house. Wow. An unwavering loyalty, an unimaginable impact. Romans 16, verse 3. Now you got a little better picture when Paul writes about Aquila and Priscilla, and he says, back over in Rome, as he writes this letter, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but who else wants to thank Aquila and Priscilla? Paul says, all the churches of the Gentiles. Wow. What an impact. What impact will your life have? The Bible tells us in James 4, verse 14 on the screen, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Almost 2,000 years ago, Aquila and Priscilla walked this earth, faced trials enormous, financial disasters, persecution, hardship. But they loved the Lord Jesus. They served him faithfully. How about you? What is your life? What mark will be left behind? Life is so short. Don't waste it. There's so many distractions in this world. Let's focus on the Word of God, the souls of people that need the Savior. Let's be like Aquila and Priscilla in our marriage. I believe they were an exemplary couple of a husband who loved his wife unconditionally, faithfully, and a wife who lovingly submitted and served. She was willing to open her home. That was a lot of extras for her, no doubt. That soiled the carpet. Yeah, they didn't have carpet, but you know what I mean? How is it with you? Alaska, the penis, to come and just play a couple of verses of 862. 862, the song is My Desire. I'd like you to just think about, what is your life? Will you live for Jesus? If you're kicked out of your house, if you're put in a strange city, are you going to serve Christ there? Wherever you are. Maybe you're a tent maker. Got to pay the bills. Work hard. But love Jesus. Is your desire to be like Jesus? Like the song says. My desire to be like Jesus. My desire to be like Him. His Spirit fill me. His love overwhelm me. In deed and word to be like Him.